Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, hopefully they're going to be the views very shortly of Dr. Michael Brown. We're getting on the line, and he's going to be talking about the problem we have in America with a general moral breakdown. And there is an organized effort to destroy the moral fabric of our society, and that, of course, is why they took God out of our schools. That's why they teach evolution in the schools, but you can't mention God. It's perfectly all right to have Muslim prayers, but don't you even think about having a Christian prayer. That's why they teach sex education. They knew what sex education would do. It would destroy the moral fabric of our youth and would simply lead to promiscuity and sexual explosion of sexually transmitted diseases and pregnancies to the point where today, why 40% of the children born in America are born out of wedlock. They knew what they were doing, ladies and gentlemen. And now, of course, we're going to be talking this hour about homosexuality, which is being taught to our kindergarten children as completely normal. With us is Dr. Michael Brown. Michael, thanks very much for being with us tonight.
So glad to be with you. Thanks.
Well, why don't you just pick up the story? Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and why you are concerned about what's happening to our society.
You know, absolutely. I'm a Jewish follower of Jesus. I've been following the Lord the last 40 years now, but it wasn't always like that. When I was 16 years old, I was a heroin-shooting, LSD-using, rebellious hippie rock drummer. No interest in God, no faith in Jesus whatsoever. And God began to work in my life through some of my friends who came to faith. And through their prayer and the witness of others in the church, I was radically transformed the end of 1971, pretty much overnight. I broke free from drugs and the lifestyle I was living. So on the one hand, all my life in the Lord, I've been concerned about morality. I've been concerned about purity and things like that because my life was so transformed. And I saw the decadent way that, that my generation was going. I saw the sexual revolution of the 60s, you know, lived in that generation, and everything just changed so dramatically kind of overnight in America. And just one decade or less, and everything was kind of upside down. But the whole issue of homosexuality has not been something that I really focused on in ministry, except for the last 7 or 8 years, since I don't come out of homosexuality myself, since I was never really called to minister extensively to the homosexual community. This was not something that I really focused on, and I was concerned about the other moral issues, the other moral issues in our society, and the breakdown of heterosexual marriages and pornography and adultery and those kinds of things. But it's when gay activism basically came knocking at our door. We live now in Charlotte, North Carolina, from New York originally. But when gay activism basically came knocking at our door with gay pride events in our city, with gay activist organizations coming into our city and pushing their agenda, with most of the major companies, the biggest companies in Charlotte, the big banks, Bank of America and then Wachovia at that time, even Duke Energy, our local power company, supporting homosexual activism. As we saw this happening more and more, my heart just got stirred, and I began to look in more depth at what was happening in society, in our classrooms, in the media, across the board. Ended up working for about 6 years on a major book that came out earlier this year called The Queer Thing Happened to America. And there's no question that, gay activist organizations with definite goals and agenda have transformed America.
They certainly have. We'll be back here in just a minute, but they could not have done it on their own. They had to have help from very powerful corporations like Bank of America. Michael, you go right ahead.
Yes, sir. the fact of the matter is that the homosexual population is, say, about 3% of America. So in and of themselves, especially as underdogs, outcasts, despised in many parts of the society, in and of themselves, they couldn't bring about change like this. So what happened? Well, you have what we call straight allies, or they would call straight allies, others who agreed. Either it was part of the sexual revolution, kind of anything goes, and this is part of it, break the rules, any sexual expression is fine, or they began to say, well, look, this is the new civil rights movement. People are born this way. People can't change. This is just like skin color. We need to back this. Gay civil rights, it's the new black. So this has been championed on wide scale, and it's not a mystery. You know, you look at the companies that have changed their policies to be in harmony with homosexual activism, and it's many of the top 500 Fortune 500 companies in America. This is not a mystery. It's not like we're looking for some secret conspiracy. There is major funding, major backing. The Human Rights Campaign, which is really the homosexual rights campaign, because that's their one and only focus, those issues, their annual budget is something like $45 million a year. Where does that money come from? It comes from many corporations. It comes from individuals that want to see America change. In their minds, this is a matter of equality and tolerance. From my perspective, this is really undermining the very fabric of our society.
Well, is it possible that some of these people in these major corporations want to destroy the moral fabric of our society, that some of the people working at the highest echelons of the corporate world have a different worldview and hate the moral foundation of the Judeo-Christian faith that once made America the envy of the world?
Surely. I would say that you've got a few things going on. You've got those that feel this is just a matter of civil rights, and hey, this gay or lesbian employee is the best worker we have, and trust it, and so on, and we shouldn't be so bigoted and intolerant. And then there are those that absolutely despise the things that we love. We're looked at as Stone Age people. We're Neanderthals for thinking the way that we do, and for holding to the values that we do, and for esteeming sexual purity, and for esteeming the value of life in the womb, and for esteeming things like teen abstinence, and for esteeming the importance of lifelong union of a man and woman in marriage. So there are others that absolutely despise our values, and this is all part of going in a different direction. I mean, it's very interesting.
Hold that thought.
All right.
Michael, we'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. Michael Brown, and we're simply talking about why is it that so many of the Fortune 500 companies and certainly our major foundations and our major organizations are championing the cause of homosexuality? And Michael was saying that certainly some of these people look upon this as the new civil rights movement, like certainly we discriminated against black because they had black skin. That wasn't their fault. We had no right to discriminate against. It's a matter of freedom. And so the same thing would be for homosexuals. They're trapped in this way of life. They shouldn't be suddenly discriminated against. But there, of course, Michael will acknowledge the fact that there may well be other people who have a different worldview, who are working within the corporate world, working for these great corporations, who have a different worldview and want to change America from the moral and deeply religious country it once was into a libertine country where anything goes, and of course with that comes the destruction of the moral fabric of our society. So pick up the story there, Michael.
Yeah, it's very interesting, and I document this in one chapter called Diversity or Perversity, where we talk about corporate America's sponsorship of gay pride events at their worst in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. But I document the degree to which corporate America has gotten on board with homosexual activist agenda. And if you think for a moment, you've got diversity training in the workplace, and leadership in these corporations will say that we have to be sensitive to the diverse needs of our clientele, the diverse needs of the workplace. Well, there's some truth to that, but the fact is, when there's a conflict between sexual liberty and religious liberty, sexual liberty is going to win out. That's been happening consistently in the workplace. It's been happening consistently even in the courts, that sexual freedoms will trump religious freedoms and freedoms of conscience. And something that I find fascinating is that if you look at the early homosexual activist literature, especially the 50s and 60s into the early 70s, marriage was a hated institution. Marriage was looked at as a patriarchal antique that put people in bondage and that needed to be undone. So it was absolutely something despised, and basically the conservative wing or the conservative strategy among homosexual activists basically won out to the point that now, oh, marriage is something to be celebrated. Everyone should have the right to marriage. So in a very subtle way, by being less radical, by being less in your face, less of the here we're queer, get used to it stuff, and the crazy protest that they used to have, no, now just show the other side of it. The couple, they've been together 20 years, and they have a lovely dog and an adopted handicapped child and so on. And that's the face of homosexual activism, and that's the face that America embraces without recognizing that in embracing that, you do undo marriage. You do undo foundations of society. You undo the most basic foundation where you do your best to join a kid with a mom and a dad. Now, by default, you have a situation where that can't happen. So even though it looks less radical, in certain ways it's become more radical because it's undermining these very institutions.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. Now, of course, many years ago, in the mid-1980s and early 1990s, I was deeply involved with the whole issue of the AIDS epidemic and trying to address it. And, of course, the gay activists were doing everything they could to block the public health measures that would have saved the lives of literally hundreds of thousands of gay men who are homosexual. Still, almost half of the people who have died of AIDS and almost half of the people who have HIV or AIDS today certainly are homosexuals, and we were trying to save homosexual lives, and yet the activists were doing everything they could to undermine public health measures. But I eventually came to the conclusion this is certainly not the majority of homosexuals. The majority of homosexuals really want to be left alone, but there is this small component of very well-financed, very dedicated activists. And we equate everything going on to homosexuals. Well, it's not homosexuals, all homosexuals, but there is an element there who have a lot of very powerful friends in corporate America and at every level of our most wealthy people who are doing everything they can to, as you say, to destroy the moral fabric of our society. And by teaching homosexuality is completely normal to our kindergarten children, what does that do to their, children who shouldn't even be thinking about sex? We seem to be focusing their attention from four or 5 years of age on sex, promiscuous sex, deviant sex, certainly unhealthy sex. I don't think that's good for our children. I think our children are under attack today. But go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, there are a couple of things that come to mind as you say that. First, just on the larger issue of the sexualizing of our children. Let's put aside homosexuality for a moment. The larger issue of the sexuality of our children. If you think for a moment, say that the MTV, VH1 type of shows, and all of the lewdness, the dances, the suggestive lyrics, the suggestive movements. Who watches these? It's some teenagers watch, older teenagers, but you got plenty of kids that are 10, 12 years old that watch this, and there's sexualizing of our kids from these early ages. They don't even understand the moves they're making or the lyrics that they're mimicking, and yet they're subjected to this. Now you add in a whole other thing, which is not so much about sex, but sexual identity, where you want a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old to be familiar with the fact that some kids have two daddies and some kids have two mommies, and sometimes a man likes a man and a woman likes a woman. Well, hang on. You got a first grader. Boys like boys and girls like girls. Does that mean they're gay or lesbian? What do they even understand by these concepts? I've watched videotape from schools, not done secretly, but somehow just it's been taped and shown. And here's a teacher teaching little kids and going through history This is now mandated in California with the passing of SB 48 earlier this year, signed into law by Governor Jerry Brown, where it's mandated that you'll teach and celebrate the contributions of gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender Americans in the past. So I've seen clips already where this has been done, and they're showing this one was a famous author, and then they're telling the kids, he was gay. Oh, he was gay? Yeah, well, what does that mean to a seven-year-old that doesn't understand homosexuality or heterosexuality? You say, well, no, that's helping have a safe environment. So when kids begin to come out and identify as gay when they're 10 or 12, there's a safe environment. We've got no business putting this stuff in our kids' heads. We've got no business getting them to think about sexual identity when they're not even old enough to understand their own sexuality. They don't even understand a concept such as sexuality. So there's no question that as this is put in the schools earlier and earlier on, it's going to bring more and more confusion about gender identity. The fact is that there are states in America, there are school systems in America, where if a kid is convinced, a boy is convinced he's a girl and wants to come to school dressed as a girl, or just say maybe a gay kid feels that he wants to wear women's high heels and ladies' makeup and flirt with the straight boys, that he's actually allowed to do that. It's really quite remarkable. And if you say, well, that's completely irresponsible, what about the other kids? I mean, how can that possibly be right? What about the kids that aren't happy with this? Well, no, he has the right to his sexual expression or his gender expression. That's absolute nonsense. That's a travesty. It's shameful. It's a disgrace to the other kids in the school, and it's not helping these kids who are coming out either.
Well, you know, the thing that really bothers me, if you really care about people, you would want to tell them that homosexuality is not a healthy lifestyle. One in three lesbians gets breast cancer. They suppress this information. They would never tell this in school. But this is true. And I've read the homosexual magazines. I've seen the statistics. It is true. One in eight women will get breast cancer. One in three lesbians will get breast cancer. And this, of course, is a tragedy. The homosexual, male homosexual, lives a much shorter period of time than the normal individual. There are all sorts of diseases that are inherent in this type of lifestyle. Not everybody dies young, but the majority do die much younger, and so it's the diseases, not only the AIDS, but all of the other diseases, the hepatitis, are and simply an essential part of this type of lifestyle and this type of activity. And this is never brought out in school. We're never allowed to tell the truth about, really, this is not a gay lifestyle. This is a death style. It's tragic, but people don't understand that by not telling our children the truth, why we condemn many of them to an early grave.
Yeah, look, even if someone says, well, I dispute those statistics, you're absolutely wrong, you're just homophobic, prejudiced. Well, just let's ask a couple of questions. Is it recognized that there's a much higher rate of HIV/AIDS transmission or infection in the community of men who have sex with men? Certainly, in general, there are a much higher proportion of sexually transmitted diseases among men who have sex with men. Absolutely. Is it known that there's a higher percentage of lesbians who have substance abuse, who are overweight, who you add those factors, does that have a higher disease rate? Yes, it does. Well, you go down the list and you realize, there are actually reasons. You know, God made us a certain way. It's a fascinating thought that if you have a man and a woman and they are pure growing up, and then they get married, and they have a wonderful, healthy marital relationship and a healthy sexual relationship all their married life, they'll never get a sexually transmitted disease. And yet, if they do something outside of marriage with someone else, just talking heterosexually here, they might well get a sexually transmitted disease. Yet you wonder, where does it come from? How do these things happen? And you recognize when we violate God's laws or when we just violate the way He made us, it's going to happen. I had some cookies for dessert tonight. Well, if I had less cookies and more apples, statistically, there'd be a better chance of me living longer and healthier. So
Hold that thought. My guest is Dr. Michael Brown. We'll be back in just a moment. Michael, go right ahead.
Yeah, the fact is, it's not that we're saying that people are all homosexual men and women, and the majority are doing crazy things, and the majority have 500 sexual partners, or this or that. We're simply saying that God didn't make us to be homosexual. When you just look at a man and you look at a woman, you say, okay, we're designed to be with each other. We're designed to be with each other physically. We're designed to be with each other for the purpose of reproduction. And then when you look at the emotions and the differences and how we're two opposites, and the two opposites form a whole as male and female come together, or the two differentiated beings come together and make one whole, that works. You don't have that with two men. You don't have that with two women. And, you know, when people say, look, this is a gift from God that he's given me, and I'm happy to be gay, and I'm thrilled to be gay, and it was miserable for me when I was fighting it and when I was trying to masquerade as a heterosexual, and I'm glad to be the way I am. I'm sure that accepting who they are has lifted off a psychological burden. I'm sure that in many ways they feel affirmed in the community where they are, but this is not how God designed us, and he has a better way, and yet to share that, we're considered bigoted. If we tell two men, you know, God made you to be with women, and you could reproduce and have children, and you don't have to have artificial insemination for two lesbians, and you don't have to have a surrogate mother for the baby for two homosexual men, and on and on, and the two of you can actually reproduce the unique offspring of who you are in a man and woman, that's not being bigoted. That's not being homophobic. The last chapter of my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, I just lay out the beauty of God's design. I lay out first the direction we're going, the consequences of the direction we're going, which is ultimately undoing gender. There are books I own with titles and subjects like Undoing Gender and Blending Gender and Blurring Gender, because gender itself becomes the enemy. The male-female distinction, the male-female dichotomy, instead, no, we want to undo gender so people aren't trapped in this. One leading gay psychiatrist, Jack Drescher, recently said there are more than 6 billion people in the world. Two genders is not enough. This is where we're going. Whereas the way it's established from the beginning, God made us male and female. When we deviate from the path, the sky, or perhaps not the sky, is the limit.
Well, I agree with you. And basically, of course, the tragedy is that this is not a happy lifestyle. As a physician, many times I would have homosexuals or lesbians talk to me about Sydney, their life. And as a whole, they were miserable. They really were. They knew what they were doing was wrong, but they didn't know how to get out of it. They wanted to change. They'd like to be like everybody else. Remember this one brilliant lesbian woman. She was a professor. And she said she'd done everything she could. She'd tried to have an affair even with a psychiatrist. It just didn't work out. And how miserable it was for her, you know, as an aging lesbian going to a gay bar and saying, sitting there, hoping somebody would come and pick her up. And she was just so filled with frustration. And I'm sure this is true of both male and female homosexuals. If they really, of course, you can talk to them and understand. So by certainly doing everything we can to encourage homosexuality, instead of talking to the people with love and compassion, but telling them there is a way out. You can change, but you have to turn your life over to God. You may always have those urges, but you don't have to go in to give in to those urges. And this is what nobody wants to say. But God does have a plan for each of our lives. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess Dr. Michael Brown and Sydney. His book, your title of your book again, Michael?
A Queer Thing Happened to America.
A Queer Thing Happened to America. How can people get copies of your book?
The easiest way is just to go to Amazon, online, amazon.com, and to order it there. Many bookstores won't carry it. It's considered too controversial. Even though I've written 20 books and work with major Christian publishers and written for secular publishers as well, this time we had to launch our own publishing house called Equal Time Books. Because no one else is willing to touch it. We were told it's too controversial. I had one publisher tell me I'm eager to read the book, but I don't dare publish it myself because the fallback against me, the consequences will be too intense. So we encourage folks to go to Amazon. My own website is askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Folks can order directly there. When they order on Amazon, though, interestingly, it's listed under gay and lesbian nonfiction or gay and lesbian history. So as the book does well on Amazon and sales increase, it's actually boosted it up in terms of its prominence in the homosexual community as a book that's known. And we also want to get to a lot of secular readers. We want to inform and equip and awaken Christians, conservatives, give them an understanding of what's really happening in America, give them an understanding of the direction of gay activism and the consequences of gay activism. At the same time, we really want to reach the secular reader as well, the middle-of-the-road person or even someone committed on the other side to say, look at where we've come, look at where we're going. Is this really what you want? Is this the right direction?
Well, I would tell you one thing. It is not the right direction. What we need is for the people to have the courage to speak out. And even many of our churches will not address this issue. When you do, of course, you come under attack. I know, I remember one time I did a DVD on homosexuality. We had over 250 violent, obscene telephone calls from homosexuals all across the country calling our 800 number. I mean, a planned, coordinated attack. You take a stand, they're going to get you. And believe me, they're organized. But of course, there are no laws to protect people who are not homosexuals. That's supposed to happen to homosexuals. You'd be on 60 Minutes. It happens to somebody. And all I did simply was to talk about what the homosexual lifestyle really involved, based upon a book written by a homosexual called When the Band Played On.
Yeah, by Randy Schultz.
Randy Schultz. And I used that as the foundation for the information we put out. And boy, did we get viciously attacked. In fact, everybody else in the movie had their lives and professions destroyed. I don't know why God allowed me to get to do what I did and certainly not pay a much higher price. But I would often come home, my wife would be in tears simply because of these vile, obscene telephone calls. Mm. Our telephone number, if you had like to give us a call, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But America's on the way down. Certainly, we have lost our moral foundation. Certainly, our churches are certainly, they've changed the music of the churches. They've changed, in many ways, the message of Christianity. And no, people go to church every Sunday. But look and see what's happening to our society. Is the church really making a difference today? I wish it were making more of a difference, but we seem to be always on the retreat. Certainly, never. Never on the offensive. So, Michael, what's the solution? What can be done? What's going to happen to America?
Well, let me answer the second question first. What's going to happen to America is we will have complete sexual anarchy and complete moral chaos unless there's an awakening among God's people. Jesus said to his followers, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. If the salt has lost its saltiness, it's good for nothing except to be thrown out, trampled underfoot of men." That's what's largely happened to the gospel message in America today and to many Christians, because we've compromised, because we've lost our distinctives, because we're no longer the moral conscience of the society. Jesus said in another context, in Matthew 6, "If the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" So I've said over and over again, the greatest problem in America is not the presence of darkness, it's the absence of light. Yes, I'm concerned about homosexual activism. Yes, I'm concerned about the ongoing breakdown of the heterosexual family. Yes, I'm concerned about the lack of fear of God in our churches. The solution is awakening. The solution is that we recognize the problem is in our hands, that the greatest issue is that we're not living right. We are not living uncompromised lives. We are joined together with the world. We fear man more than we fear God. We've watered down the message to make it acceptable to people. We don't preach the cross. We don't preach self-denial. Instead, we preach a convenience store Christianity. The awakening has to begin with us. We need to turn from our sins, turn to God.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
All right.
Let us swear inside is. Don't be late.
No.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, our guest this evening, Dr. Michael Brown, and his book, A Queer Thing Happened. Well, Michael, once again, what is your website? How can people get in touch with you and your ministry?
My website is askdrbrown.org. We've got links there for our Jewish ministry and outreach. We've got links there for our Coalition of Conscience, which is our moral, cultural organization. We've got links there for A Line of Fire, which is my daily live radio show, Revolution Online Magazine. So that's all at askdrbrown.org. And best way to get my book, quickest way you can also get an ebook form, is to go to Amazon.com and order A Queer Thing Happened to America. And it's available in all the different e-forms as well.
And I think it's very interesting that certainly one of the editors, one of the publishers, was very much in favor of your book. But as he said, he wouldn't dare publish it. And this is what we're really up against, ladies and gentlemen. There is a control over publishing. There are only a few publishers that are really willing to go out on a limb and publish the real truth or the things that go along with the establishment. They get it published every day. And when you get on to these programs, why you run all the major talk show programs, both conservative and Christian, right and left. But you talk about some of the real issues, and you're certainly not going to get published to regular channels, and you're certainly not going to get on most radio programs. Well, we're very happy to have Michael on. We think his message is important, because I believe that the moral fabric of our society is under attack today. I think that there are forces out there that are using homosexuality to destroy our nation. That doesn't mean that some of the homosexual activists aren't involved. Well, I think they are. But, of course, we have other sinister forces at work. And I believe, of course, everything is being done to disrupt God's plan for men, for women, for humanity. And they're destroying the moral fabric of our society. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And we've got Ron calling from Washington. Hi, Ron. How are we doing?
Well, I'm very pleased that you have Dr. Brown. You're addressing this issue. I consider it one of the foundational issues in society today.
Well, that's why we have him on here. We've had him on to our other programs. We were very impressed by this message, and we don't certainly duck important things. So, but why do you say this is so important? Why do you think?
Well,
it's a very issue?
Well, it's a very foundation of our moral fabric, and it's reaching even where I'm in some kind of a semi-rural area with the quote conservative unquote, and it was right in my high school, in a high school that my kids attended. They had a poster on it that if you encourage people or you engage in sodomy or something, they always call it gay. There's nothing gay about sodomy, and it said, you know, you could compete for a scholarship. Hmm. So I was there as a parent just to help police activities during the week, and I asked if I could have it because my kids had just graduated, and they said, sure, you can have the poster. So I got the poster. I compared the health effects of smoking with that of engaging in such depraved sexual activity as sodomy and lesbianism and such. And I went to the school board meeting. And I commended them for their stand against smoking, but I had to express my disappointment at the fact that they were promoting sodomy. And of course, they took offense at that. The superintendent was very upset that I would ever bring that up. And I said, he denied it strenuously. He said, we don't do that. I said, yes, you do. And I pulled out that poster and I handed that to him. And he really couldn't say anything after that. But the program that I was involved in got canceled. So I wasn't allowed back in.
Okay, fine. Well, do you have any thoughts on that, Michael?
Yeah, well, a perfect example. There you have a fairly conservative rural part of the country. And yet, we're not talking about saying don't bully kids. That was not the message. The message was not, don't beat up someone if they're different. Of course we all agree with that. God forbid we would support violence or hatred towards any group of people. But the message was encouraging or giving special favor to homosexual practice. And again, it's reverse civil rights. It's completely outrageous. And you have to say, what about the responsibility of encouraging kids in a lifestyle that does have more health-related issues with it, and you know the other thing is the in terms of being such a massively important issue, this is absolutely the greatest threat to freedom of religion and freedom of speech and freedom of conscience in America and in other nations as well. I've got a whole chapter in A Queer Thing Happened to America called "Big Brother is Watching," and he really is gay, and it's happening more and more and more frequently. And in more and more shrill tones, and you don't dare speak out against homosexuality, homosexual activism without consequences. Even in the publishing of my book, and I don't feel like some martyr because of it. That's fine. I've got friends in India that we work with that have been beaten, and others who have been killed for their faith by militant Hindus and fanatics and other religions. So we're not suffering on that level here in America. And I don't mind the consequences of getting rejected or blasted on internet or people boycotting us or whatever. That's fine. It goes with the territory. But let's understand there are serious and severe consequences for opposing homosexuality or homosexual activism or even doing something like Michelle Bachmann's husband, the presidential candidate Michelle Bachmann. Her husband is a qualified counselor, therapist, and if someone comes to him, says, I have unwanted same-sex attractions, will you help me? Sure, we can counsel you, we can help you. That's outrageous. She's getting blasted as a presidential candidate because her husband is giving good counsel to someone. That's the state that we're in today.
We live in a world gone mad. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And if you don't think there's a conspiracy against God and his plan for humanity, if you don't think America's under attack today, not from terrorism, not even from the communists, but under attack by the conscious, organized effort to destroy the moral fabric of our society. This is a long-term plan of those who would destroy the very essence of this country. Simply, many years ago, Cleon Skousen wrote a book called The Naked Communist, where he lists the goals of communism, but you must understand, communism was never an independent movement. It was always certainly something that was being used by other people to destroy the fabric of our society. Part of this, what I like to refer to as the conspiracy against God. Ron, do you have anything else you'd like to say?
Well, there's a number of things. I don't know if you're familiar with Noah Hutchings.
Oh, very much so. In fact, Noah's going to be a guest here very soon. I think another week or so he'll be
coming. Yeah, one of his latest prophetic observers, he said Obama is sodomizing America. And one of his big complaints is that he doesn't hear anybody speaking up against it, not in politics or not in the church. One of our thankfully she's not a representative anymore. She retired. But I confronted her on this. She was a Republican. And she says it's a civil rights issue. To which I replied, no, it's a civil wrongs issue. It's a criminal behavior. It's a crime against nature and a crime against nature's God. And therefore, it is a crime. I don't care what the super shysters say. And since when do they start legislating from the bench? Since when do they start determining what right and wrong is? We have worthless politicians who do not defend the Constitution from their our domestic enemies.
You're absolutely right, Ron. We're in real trouble today, and I appreciate so much everything you do, and keep up the good work. Don't ever let one other thing.
Okay. This Gay-Straight Alliance, I was teaching in a school, local school here, and I saw they had that. Some gal was this is a safe room, and I went and confronted her, and I said, you're encouraging people to engage in very unhealthy activity that puts them at risk of serious disease. And she said, well, I don't think so, and all that, and I said, well, I'm going to bring it up with the administration, and I did. I went to the vice principal, and I was just a substitute teacher, but I had that little. There was a letter about this is Altre Magnus. It was a threat by some homosexuals how they're going to sodomize our kids in the schoolroom and all that. And I gave it to the vice principal. I said, I think it's criminal the fact that you have these clubs. And I could tell he agreed with me. But he said, you're going to have to take that up with the school board.
Well, I think that he's trying to save his job. And certainly, unfortunately, our teachers who want to do the right thing, and I think the vast majority want to, also realize that they are involved in a situation where they can't necessarily tell the truth.
I wouldn't give them that much credit.
All right.
I think so many of them are so trendy. You would think they're traditional, but they're real trendy. And sometimes the trends are not good.
Right. Well, I agree with that. I mean, some of them, but I think some do know right and wrong, and I think others, well, certainly some of them may not know right and wrong. They're victims of the society we live in today. Ron, I'm going to let you go, but thank you.
All right. God bless. Take care, and God bless you, Dr.
Okay. Bye-bye. And thank you for all you do. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Michael, what's going to happen to America if we don't turn back to God and we don't turn back to God's plan for men and for women and for families and for morality and do things that honor God rather than simply say, do what you ever want to do? There are no moral foundations.
Yeah, well, right now we see that we have become a debtor nation. We are not free. If foreign nations pull their money out of us, China and Saudi Arabia, even India now, we'd have a complete and absolute economic collapse. So there's no question that we are in debt, which means we're enslaved, we're in bondage. Well, it's going to happen across the board. Across the board, we will be a people who are enslaved. Across the board, we will be a people who are in bondage. Whether it means losing other national freedoms, and I'm not, and neither are you, blaming all of this on homosexuality or homosexual activism. We are saying that this is all part of the same deterioration of our morals, the same breakdown of our character, the same breakdown of family. It'll become an increasing rarity to have what we call a traditional family. I would just call it a natural family, an organic family with a mom and dad and kids. The value of life will continue to be cheapened, as it's been through the destruction of tens of millions of unborn children in the womb. Distinction between male and female will basically go out the window because it'll be anything goes with gender and gender identity and expression. And certainly with it, with sexual immorality, heterosexual, homosexual, there are diseases, issues with it. It's something like 1 in 4 teenage girls today has a sexually transmitted disease. You probably know the stat better than I do. But some remarkably tragic statistic. I believe violence will increase within our borders, on and on and on. So it's a grim prospect unless we have awakening. But I believe God can turn the tide. I believe that so many recognize we're heading in the wrong direction. So many know that something is terribly wrong, and they're beginning to know something has to change. We can't continue the way we've been going.
Well, I agree with that. I'm certainly I hope and pray that God does intervene. I'm just looking for the leadership, and maybe God's going to intervene without the leadership. God works in strange ways. Well, we've got Barbara calling from Aptos. I can number again. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Barbara. Do you have a question or comment?
Mostly a comment. I was listening to Dr. Brown, and I really have to agree with his concept and what he's talking about. But I look back on my time when I really think a lot of the problems that we're having with the homosexuals are with the radical activists who are really pushing this. Because I worked in a hospital many years ago, and we had several homosexuals who were working there. They were extremely nice, gentle people. I got along with them very well. They didn't push any of the homosexuality at all. But I think the one thing that we need to do is try to, rather than go against those who are nice, is to try and bring them gently to the Lord and befriend them and try and help them, because they really need it. But some of them, as I said, some of them, they were excellent people to work with, and I have nothing. I don't agree with the homosexuality, but I have to say that I really liked these people.
And sometimes they're very kind, they're very compassionate, very intelligent. I mean, I think that certainly homosexuals many times have a well-educated, and they're nice people. It is not that type of homosexual. It is this small, very small group of homosexual activists that are being financed by people, most of whom are not homosexuals, but people who, in my estimation, would destroy the moral fabric of our society. And behind them, I believe there are powerful spiritual forces which are energizing the whole movement. Michael, how would you respond to what Barbara said?
I'm so glad that she called. Absolutely thrilled that she called, because you've said it, I've said it, but it needs to be heard again. That the issue is gay activism. The issue is homosexual activist organizations and individuals, which really are a minority even in the homosexual community. The fact is, the great majority of those who identify as gay and lesbian are not activists. In fact, their main quote agenda is just let me live my life and leave me alone. And you're talking about fellow human beings, so of course you're going to have many people who are kind-hearted and compassionate and educated and hardworking and devoted to family in different ways and on and on. We would simply say that God has a better way. And unfortunately, it's a tough thing, because when you stand up against activism, you now are branded as if you hate all homosexual men and women. When you stand up against the activism, when you differ with the goals of homosexual activism, you're treated as if, well, you hate all gays, you want to see us suffer, you want to see us beat up, or you want to see us put in jail. Of course, none of us are saying that or thinking that. Mm-hmm. We're saying we differ with the goals of activism. So the way the Lord laid this on my heart back in early 2005 was this: reach out and resist. Reach out to the people with compassion. Resist the activism with courage.
Amen. I think that's very well put. Well, I guess, of course, it's been Dr. Michael Brown, his book, A Queer Thing Happened. You can get it on Amazon. Once again, your website, Michael?
It's askdrbrown.org.
Askdrbrown.org. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program. Barbara, thank you so very much for calling. Anything else you want to say?
Just, I want to say God bless Dr. Brown for writing this book.
God bless. Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we have Herman on the line right now. Hi, Herman. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes. I heard a program the other day, Dr. Mike Ladger, and he mentioned in counseling that he had counseled, many people over the years who were lesbian or homosexual, but one was a lady, and she had gone through 5 relationships. And he pointed out that after counseling her, that was the equivalent of 5 divorces. These were all serious relationships. And he said, it is not a happy situation. God loves every human being, no matter what condition they're in, but this is not a good thing for society. The basic building block of all societies for 5,000 years has been the family unit. And every time that model has been broken, those societies and civilizations have collapsed. And I fear we're on the same road today.
Michael, would you like to respond to what Herman said?
Yes, certainly. There is greater instability in homosexual relations than heterosexual relations for obvious reasons. Again, the compatibility, the way God designed us. And in addition to that, rather than looking at this as a civil rights movement, we need to look at this as part of the radical sexual revolution of the 60s that undermined morality, that undermined marriage, family. So from 1960 to 2000, divorce rate doubled, teen suicide tripled, reported violent crime went up 4 times, prison population went up 5 times, children born out of wedlock went up 6 times, people living together outside of wedlock went up 7 times, all part of the sexual revolution of the 60s and the aftermath. Included in that, Stonewall riots, 1969, the beginning of the gay liberation movement. So the homosexual activism we're seeing today is part and parcel of the larger sexual revolution that has undermined marriage, family, morality. And it behooves us to say that Jesus has changed us and to say that we hold to the scripture. It behooves us to live differently and set an example to show the world there is a better way.
Well, that's all we can do. And I think our job is to stand for righteousness, not to dodge the important issues of our time. And that's one reason why I enjoy having an opportunity to speak on talk radio. We can address the issues that it's very hard to address otherwise. And we have a growing audience. And I think most Americans feel that homosexuality is wrong. But, of course, how do we address it? We address it in love and with compassion, but pointing out if you care about homosexuals, you've got to tell them it's wrong. Thank you so much, Herman. Thank you so very much, Dr. Brown. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Michael, are you still there?
Still here.
Well, God bless you. Thank you very much. I appreciate everything you're doing, and please keep in touch with us.
Yes, God bless you. Thanks so much for the time together tonight.
You're more than welcome. Bye-bye. Okay, that was Dr. Michael Brown, a book, A Queer Thing Happened, and this is an issue we can't dodge. You may not want to think about it. You may not want to talk about it, but it is one of the primary issues in our society, and believe me, there's an organized effort to destroy the moral fabric of our society by those people who, although not homosexuals, want, of course, to undermine the very fabric of our society. So, certainly, we recommend that certainly have Dr. Brown's book. We actually have a book I wrote on this subject. It's called AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. Now, I'll have to admit that when I wrote the book, I really didn't understand that AIDS was a man-made disease, but I knew that we were being blocked from using the effective public health measures that would have stopped the spread of the disease. And I'm just sort of a slow learner. It took me a long time to really finally come to the conclusion this was a man-made disease. And just we have a great 4-tape set on AIDS now, great information. We carry the book. AIDS is a crime beyond belief. It's a book put out by Don Scott. We think it's one of the finest books there on this subject. AIDS, the crime beyond belief. And certainly, then, of course, we hope that you'll get our 4-tape set on the AIDS epidemic, my book, AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. And then, of course, we hope you'll get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which begins to tie all of this together. Basically, we have a syllabus on water fluoridation. It goes along with my talk on water flow. It's called The Hidden Agenda. But there we actually reproduce a page from the put out for the Family Planning Perspective, a organization closely aligned with Planned Parenthood, who talks about how are we going to limit the population, or we're going to have abortion, we're going to have euthanasia, we're going to have the marriage tax, so it'll cost you more money to get married, you pay more income tax. But we're going to put something in the water to control fertility, and we're going to encourage homosexuality. That's one of the things they stipulate. we want to encourage homosexuality. Why? Because, of course, they usually don't marry and they die young. That is what this is really all about. And there's a conspiracy against homosexuality as well. There really are the people who hate homosexuals. But they're not certainly Christians. They're the people who, of course, hate Christianity and everything it stands for. But they also have an intense hatred of humanity. And when you understand, what we're up against is hate. Organized hate, well-financed, some of the richest people in the world are part of this movement. That's why you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, my talk on the dark secret, my talk on the forbidden secret, and there's syllabus that goes with both of those. You need to get the information, help us to get it out. Now, this is the time I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there listening to us across America and you're in a position to help, we'd love to hear from you. We have an opportunity to get a great radio station in Southern California, and Joyce and certainly Pastor Bush are on that already, and certainly we'll bring up a great four-hour session there. They've made me a very good offer. We're going to, of course, have to pay for the time, but if you're in a position to help or even make a pledge for 6 months so that we'll know we'll have the funds coming in, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. I really want to be on that station, and we're gradually expanding the stations. We have the two stations in Utah we've had for about 2 months, a new station in Phoenix that we've had for a month, and I'd very much like to get this station. And remember, when you join the Radio Liberty family, you become part of our effort to educate the American people about the true nature of the spiritual battle in which we're engaged today. Please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and our protection.